Hello, everybody. We can get started today. Let me get all of my windows open, chat working, see who's here, make sure I'm in the right room. Yep, I'm in the right room. When y'all start pouring in, I know exactly where I'm at, which is always good. All right, let me get Q&A up. All right. If you want closed captioning, you just got to hit the CC button. You can turn that on for yourself. They should be running if you want them on. And let me get my notes up. Today we are, so first of all, I hope that all of you are enjoying the new version of No BS. So let me just go over a couple things so people aren't confused. Number one, we only released modules 3 and 4. We had updated modules 1 and 2 back in October of 2022. And then I spent the next 6 months rewriting modules 3 and 4 so that they would be ready for you. Now the entire program has been updated. It's amazing, I think. It's some of my favorite content. And we are going to end this month's, we talked all about a challenge on stopping at enough. And that's what we focused on throughout the month of March, is like figuring out what is enough, how do you stop? We practice different ways to do it. Our whole goal was for you to get comfortable with finding your cues, to get comfortable stopping at enough, to find the bullshit that you tell yourself about stopping enough, trying to find all of your fears around stopping at enough. We really wanted to spend the entire month deep diving into patterns and fears and doubts and the way we comfort bullshit excuses, all the things, so that you would be set up for this month, which is urges and future you. So here's your instructions for the month. We are getting questions of like, I'm in the middle of pathways. I am like on the urges pathway, or I am on the basics pathway. You can either keep going on your pathway because the modules aren't going anywhere. So it's not like at the end of April, I'm taking it all away from you. That is not happening. You can stay with your pathway, finish where you're at, and then you can take modules 3 and 4 at the end. Option number two. Maybe you're like, no, I really want to listen to urges 3, and I want to listen to urges, and I want to listen to future you. I am ready to do the no BS, the newer version of it. Then you just pause your path that you're on, and then you do those for this month. Simple as that. If you're a deep dive diva, you listen to lots of things. You're like, man, Corinne, I maximize the use of my phone. I am with you in the private podcast everywhere I go, so I can take as much content as you can throw at me. Then you can keep listening to your pathway. You can start listening to the No BS, and you can start listening to replays of anything you want. One of the things I want everyone to understand is there is no right way to do No BS. If somebody is listening to everything, that does not mean they lose weight faster. The only thing that's ever going to dictate the pace at which you lose weight is your application of what you consume. I got plenty of people in here who will say, get discharged, that listen to everything and apply very little. They love the listening. They're not doing worksheets. They're not making their plans. Or maybe they're making their plans, but they're not assessing. It's like they do a lot of listening and it feels really good, but the applying hasn't happened yet. I have some people that listen to everything. They do every worksheet. They apply things. They're losing like a boss. You see them posting in the Facebook group every single day. People, like, it never ceases to fail me, or amaze me, that every single day there are multiple people posting, I've lost 25 pounds. I've lost 80 pounds. I've hit my goal weight. I've been at goal weight for 3 months now. For all of you, you can find all the success you want in No BS. It is in the Facebook group every fucking day, multiple times usually. Do not get snowed that because somebody is having a problem, that we all are having problems. I get way more feedback that things are working than I ever get that they don't. I get way more feedback. I literally have never had anybody say, you know what, Corinne, I started doing the basics. I started doing journaling and my life is just worse. Like that is like never happened. I've never had somebody write in and say, when I did shit you said, my life got worse. All my fears came true. Said no one ever. And there's been thousands of people in this group. So if you're still sitting around hesitant about taking a course, worrying about what journaling's going to do to you, clutching your pearls that you're going to make a plan and you might not get to eat what you want, and your brain is like going haywire on all the worst case scenarios and shit that might happen to you, can you just ask yourself this? Is my brain the most reliable source I should be consulting? And just be honest, most of you, like for years, my brain and its automatic thoughts was the last fucking person on earth who should be calling the shots as to what I was going to do that day. And yet I let it all day, every day. I let everything I was afraid of dictate how I was going to show up. I let all my fears about not being able to lose weight because I never did it before be the reason why I just kept sitting there doing nothing. My brain was so wrong. And that's what I hear most of the time from people is, Corinne, like all the stuff I was most worried about, none of it ever happened. So for all of you who are sitting around and you're still afraid to do things, please stop listening to that part of your brain. Just decide it's wrong. If I'm going to consult anyone on my possibility, on my abilities, on anything, I should probably consult people who aren't afraid, who are logical. People who are losing weight inside the Facebook group, that's logical. Me, I look at you with logic. You do not. You most often are looking at yourself with fear in a dirty lens of how your mama talked to you around food and what your daddy said about your body and what, you know, Kevin said in the sixth grade about the size of your ass and what you were eating in your lunch bag. When you are listening to your automatic brain, you are now listening to Kevin, your daddy, your mama, Susan Powder from back in the day, whomever. Let's stop giving authority to voices in our head that aren't based in logic. They're based in emotion and fear. Okay. Just a little tangent there. Just a little tangent. All right. Lisa wants me to pull her up. Hang on, Lisa. got off on my tangent, Lisa. All right. Coach Lisa is coming on stage. She will be answering questions in the Q&A as I talk about the things. So we know what to do starting next Wednesday. This call moves from a 60-minute call to a 90-minute call with me every single week. On top of twice a month, getting 2 hours of coaching with me on Sundays. On top of, I do Queen's Club. On top of, we have a new call starting next month. Elders, you are finally getting your own fucking phone, Zoom call. I don't know why I keep calling it a phone call. We ain't been on the phone in like forever. But elders are now going to be getting their own call. How do you know if you're an elder? Number one, you got an email from us. Number two, you've been here for a year or more. We define elders as someone that's been in the, I think it's a year or more. You know what? I need to read it. Somebody in the chat tell me, was it 6 months or a year? I believe it's a year or more. I even wrote this stuff. Okay, a year. Thank you. Jesus Christ. I write this stuff and then I just forget, which is so hilarious because I sit there and I giggle about my memory. I'm listening to my mother who's in the other room. She's working from Nashville right now while her shoulder's healing. She's in there like, did I miss a team call yesterday talking to Vern And I hollered from the kitchen, "Yes, you did." It's like, she's even in my house and she didn't know that we had a team call. All right. So if you're an elder, next month you get a call. So that one will be just like Queen's Club. We will email elders. We're going to allow anyone to come just like we do Queen's Club. It will go into replay. So everybody will get to benefit from the elders call, but only elders get to raise their hand and only elders get coached. And it will be first come, first serve. It will just be throw your hand up. And that's how you'll get coached on your call. All the information's on the training calendar. So there we go. All right. And if I explained something wrong, I am sure someone will correct me. And then, yes, and you, to be an elder, here's the rule. There's like one rule. You have to have been here a year or more continuously. So if you left and come back, your time just starts over. Because when you leave, the time while you leave, we learn new things. We teach in new ways. Like there are some people that come back after a year. Our program changed completely in a year. I now teach how to feel a feeling like through trauma responses. I teach more about diet trauma, all kinds of things. So we want you to have the continuous service because we need elders to be here for a year because on that call, we are going to be talking about things that we've been talking about for over a year. That includes the past year. So that's why it needs to be that continuous service. Okay. All right. Now, starting next week, we are all going to be doing the 90-minute call with me, where I'm going to be actually watching No BS with you in modules 3 and 4. So every week, we're going to spend part of that 90-minute call watching No BS together. So you'll have live chat. You will hear, you'll have the Q&A to ask questions, and then we'll take a break. And I will be answering questions in live time about what you just learned. And so I think this is going to be very valuable. Our goal is to take the Q&As, cut them down, and then put them into No BS for you so that when you go back and you watch No BS, you'll be able to watch a lesson, and then you'll be able to hear me clarify anything that might have been confusing in the video lessons. And then eventually we'll do modules 1 and 2 together, and it will be glorious. I'm excited. I haven't been able to do this before with y'all, and so I'm really excited about it. All right. So if you got that calling all No BS elders email, then you get the benefits of that elders call. Yes. As long as you have been here a year or more with continuous service, all elders check your email. It should be in there. If you're not getting our emails, you need to just email us or just go to the website, nobswomen.com. Use the blue question mark and then tell them like, "Hey, I think I'm an elder. I don't see the email. Can you check my account?" And we will check everything for you. Of course, I'm assuming those calls will be too long for a replay. I have to work during those hours. We'll be on a replay. Yes. So the way that these replays are going to work is we will edit out the part where we're just watching the video together. You do not, you do not want to watch the video through Zoom recording. It continues to downgrade the quality of the video. So we will edit that part out, but you will get the Q&As in replay. So you'll just watch the video on the website with the highest quality, good, it'll look good, it'll sound good and everything. Then you'll just watch the Q&A replay so that you'll have that with it. Okay, let's go over. Is there anything else I need to tell y'all to do? Oh, okay. So this week we're going to be talking about getting consistent at stopping at enough. So today I'm going to be focusing on like how to shift enough while the scale, like with your scale, when it stops moving, about how long do you need to start looking at enough? Why does enough change? All of those things. We'll be talking about that today. And then what your final mission for this month is to wrap up the March challenge is I want you to do the Fuck It Foods worksheet. You can do it live with Coach Julie this Thursday, March 30th at 7 p.m. Central Time. You're welcome, West Coast. Y'all always say we don't do night calls and we do night calls. I'm like, we do night calls. So Coach Julie will be hosting it. So that's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 Mountain, 5 o'clock Pacific. So if you want to do it live with her, you can, or you can just watch the replay and do it on your own. You can also go to the website and search Bucket Foods Worksheet. And there are other classes that I have done. I believe this will be the third or fourth time we have done this exercise together as a membership. And every time it's done just a little bit different. So you can do it with Julie. You could do it with on one of mine and you will love it. All right. Let's see. All right. Let's get into enough. So first thing we need to understand is that, in fact, y'all, I'm going to stand up. I think I want to stand today. I'm trying to stand more rather than just sitting all the freaking time. For all of you, I have been reading about standing. I just sit so much. And I've been reading so much about how it's just good for you to stand and shift your weight some. It's just good for your body and your longevity. So I'm trying to start standing more. All right. And you get to see Dolly Parton when I stand. That's even better. I actually have another portrait of Dolly coming. I have now gotten obsessed with her. All right. So enough is not a destination for all of you. It is not like you are one day going to find enough and you're like, here I am. I have arrived. I will never have to think about it again. I will never have to adjust it. It's never going to change. That day is never coming. Everybody take a big breath and blow out your bullshit about enough. Enough is a journey. It is not a place that I'm going to land my ass permanently for good. It's not happening. So for all of you that have some bullshit drama around, like, I don't know, I don't have enough, and now I've lost it, it's changed, it's so terrible, why are you doing it? Stop. Stop. Y'all giggle when I want, but good Lord, I want you to think about this. That's what goes on in your head. Think about how freaking draining it is to bitch and moan about something that's fucking human nature. You gonna get older, and let me just tell you, you might as well make peace with it now. That the older you get, the less food your body's gonna need. Why? It ain't trying to make babies no more. It ain't having a period no more. It ain't got to do all that work. It's like, if you don't lift weights, it loses muscle. Muscle demands more calories. You want to be able to eat more in your 60s and 70s? Lift weights. Stop avoiding it. It's going to make me fat. Lifting weights never made anybody fat. Ever. It made you stronger. It protects your bones. You might hold some water when you lift weights, but no one's lifting weight and getting fatter. The only way to gain weight is for you to eat like an asshole. You eat like an asshole, you gain weight, regardless if you're a runner, regardless if you're lifting weights. But here's what I see most of the time. Y'all go out and lift some weights and then think you need a cheeseburger afterward. I need extra protein. I just went in there and lifted 5-pound weights. This kills me. Y'all can lift, number one, you can lift heavier. But number two, you do not need to eat extra because you're lifting some 10-pound weights or 5-pound weights when you hauled a toddler on your hip who was probably 40 or 50 pounds. Did you ever carry your toddler through a Target screaming and crying at the end saying, well, I better fuel up. Somebody get me some chicken. No. So trust me, when you lift weights, you ain't got to feed that shit. You just don't. I've been at this for 15 years plus. I know trainers. I've been a trainer. Short of powerlifting, you do not need to add extra food. It is very rare in No BS that we have people who are working out so long and so hard. Now, if you're training for triathlons, marathons and stuff, yeah, your fuel needs are going to change a little. Short of that, like basic fucking losing weight and stuff, lifting weights so that you're strong and healthy and don't crack on the ground the second you hit it at, you know, 70, you ain't got to go out and eat something. That's just an excuse to eat. All right. Now, the first thing we have to realize is enough is a journey. It's just going to change. And it's going to change for lots of reasons. Number one, about every 8 to 10 pounds, you are probably going to have to adjust your enough. As you get smaller, you will eat just a little bit less, but just a little, not dramatic, not like some kind of wild ass. Like, this is what I don't want nobody to hear. Oh my God, Prince said every 10 pounds, I'm going to have to eat less. By the end, I won't be eating nothing. Here's the problem most of us have. You have normalized eating for weight gain. You have normalized what restaurants serve. You've normalized a lot of overeating trauma. To us, when we have overate all of our lives, our brains, anything less than that, feels like a little. I'm going to see if I can find this article. I read an article this morning that was so good on this. I got to see if I can find it. I'll tell you what, I'll have to go. I'm not going to be able to find it offhand, but I will find it. It was the best here. I can't even stand myself. I swear to God, I'm going to look this up because I remember what she said and I want to, that's not the article. Hang on. I got to get the second one. It's by Ree Drummond. She's just talking. Now, look, here's the one thing I want everybody. Don't everybody go out and look for Ree Drummond and how she lost weight. It's a good article. Most of it was sensible. She didn't do everything that I would tell y'all to do, but she for sure had this one quote that I was like, I am fucking telling the no BS women this. It was so good. What'd she say about food? She did say building muscle is the gift that keeps on giving. I apologize for everybody. You might want to. My body is now accustomed to eating smaller portions. She said, one of the primary things I learned in the initial months of my weight loss was just how off the rails I'd been for years when it came to portion sizes. During my first 5 months, she weighed and counted her food. I don't think you have to do that. I think what she ended up doing is what I believe all of you can do without ever having to count a calorie and introduce that bullshit. That's why I don't want everybody running out to see what Ree Drummond did. It wasn't that bad, but she took it a little extreme in the beginning. She's normalized a little now. And I just don't think that is needed. I think she could have easily lost her weight. She should have become a no-BS woman, to be honest. But let's just say that. During the, I really broke the spell of eating too much volume. And during this process, I trained my body to get used to smaller portions. And she said, I stopped calling it smaller portions. I started calling it normal portions. And I think that's awesome because when I read that, she was talking about how when she started thinking about, I am just now eating what would be called normal portions. No, I'm not sending anybody a link to this article because what I don't want y'all doing is reading this, number one, not listening to no BS. Somebody going to read this article and not be listening to module 3. And then I'm going to be pissed. Number two, I don't agree with everything she did. She had a couple of good thoughts, but I was just researching some stuff and I liked these couple of thoughts, but she counted calories. She like went on a strict 5 months of no alcohol. She started off in a lot of what I would call more restriction. And then she realized she needed to take a summer off. What does that mean? I didn't lose the initial weight the way I wanted to. And then she had to auto-correct and kind of learn and stuff. I don't want anyone doing that. You start the way you finish. That's how we roll in no BS. We don't start ridiculous. We don't start in a way that requires us for 5 months to rearrange our life and whatnot, like she did, and then try to get back into it. So somebody says, when I look at normal portions, it makes me sad. The question is, why? Put it in the Q&A. Don't put it in the chat because it's very rare that I get to see anything. I want you to put in the Q&A, what's making you sad? It's not because you're now eating a normal portion. Because this is what I want you to think about. I think it was, Jessica. Jessica, I want the answer because this is what I want to know. She gave me a whole nother thing to talk about. Give me why it makes you sad when you look at your portions. Because this is the thing for all of you. If it's making you sad, you have a shitty thought about it. Normal portions, when you look at them, I want you to be able to think things like this. What I've been eating hasn't helped me. This will. What I've been eating has been for bullshit reasons. I'm sad. I comfort. All these things. I want you to start looking at what you think is the normal portion, what you think is the owed portion or whatever. And now we got to have a shitty thought about that. One reason why it's really hard for y'all to fall in love with enough is you adopt a very sexy relationship with your overeating. You talk about it like it's, I don't know, The Rock, tattooed, muscular. If you could just rub it all day, just get on me, get in me. I mean, y'all just talk about it like it's ridiculous. And if you're wondering, I don't know why I can't find enough. I don't know why I'm scared to stop it enough. I don't know why I don't have a healthy relationship with enough. Because you don't talk about enough like The Rock. You be talking about your overeating like The Rock and those portion sizes. Just because you grew up eating one way doesn't mean it was the best way for you. You have to start questioning all of it. And so I don't have Jessica's answer yet. Jessica, you got to put it in the Q&A because I'm not going to find you in the chat if you're answering over there. So I want to know, what the hell is the thought causing sad, Jessica? Put it in Q&A. All right, so let's go back to enough. The other thing that we have to, hang on, I moved my Q&A. As you get smaller, your body's just going to need less fuel. But it's not going to need tons less fuel. It's going to need what it needs. And then you, as you get smaller, this is why a lot of times we have so, it makes me sad to eat less, uncomfortable. It's because I want you to take the portion that your body needs. So let's say that's Old Shitty. We're going to use Old Shitty as our little indicator of what our body needs. This is how much you need to eat. Then we're going to use my iPad, and here's everything left over. Old Shitty is your body's fuel. This is your emotions. So if you're sad, it's because, hey, some emotion is not getting taken care of. And you need to know this. It is not sad to eat less. What it is sad when I take away something that I'm using to comfort myself. I'm using as a friend. I'm using as a way to pass time. I'm using as a way to love myself, to de-stress, to get over guilt. Yeah, that would be sad. So finding out what you're using the extra food to accommodate. And I don't care if it's healthy food. I get a lot of y'all healthy, you know, mavens out there. Girl, I just eat salads, eat all the healthy food. I just like to eat fast enough. I don't understand why I can't lose weight. All I do is eat broccoli and like a little rabbit. If you are still overeating broccoli, we still need to find out why. Just because you're on your moral high horse that it's a vegetable, don't make it any better. What you eat, like y'all, I'm going to just say, what you eat. There are healthier choices in the world.
I was sitting here thinking this morning, I was making my lovely wheat bran that I love. Y'all know I love my wheat bran. I'm making my cereal, put my cottage cheese in there. And I'm sitting here thinking about, why do I eat a healthy breakfast? And I realized a long time ago that I started making the shift that healthy food wasn't a punishment anymore. It was a choice. And it was a choice I made because I liked feeling better. I liked having more energy. I realized there was a shift in my thinking at some point where I decided I'm not eating this to lose weight. I'm actually eating this because I want to figure out how to feel my best. And feeling my best comes with my mental health management, my emotional health management, the quality of food management and stuff. It didn't mean that I cut out my nachos and stuff. Sometimes I eat those because for that, like in that moment, I want the celebration. But I started realizing that I transitioned, like it was easier for me to eat healthier foods when I did not sit and think that what I ate made me a better person or a worse person. And I think that's the crux for a lot of y'all when it comes to like enough and eat, like changing up what you're eating. When you separate, like this is literally just a decision around food that I want to make that helps me feel good about myself, like, or feel good physically, that this is about like creating a life that I want. I want to be the kind of person that thinks about food in more ways than just de-stressing, passing the time, habitual, you know, cleaning my plate. When I took away that it was part of my identity, like this was literally just a choice, was so much easier to make better choices. When I was always trying to make food choices to determine whether me personally was a good or bad person, I turned up pressure on myself. And the more pressure I turned on, the closer I would get to fuck it eating. I never responded well to high pressure tactics when it came to weight loss. I realized the best way to lose weight for me was to figure out a way to make it feel like I was a champion. I was a hero. I was the friend I always needed. I was the personal trainer Corinne always needed. I was the advocate for me. I was the parent that I didn't have. When I started approaching it that way, I will tell you what, stopping at enough, picking out healthier food options sometimes became more doable. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like the wall of resistance came down. I wasn't always excited, but I wasn't fighting it anymore either. I was just like, hey, I want to try that today. Like I felt an incredible openness to rethinking things, but I had to decouple that I was a good or bad person. It's like, Corinne, it doesn't matter if you eat carrots or Twinkies today. And it doesn't matter if you eat to enough or until your pants explode. You are not a bad person. This has nothing to do with who you are. So if it has nothing to do with who you are, can we make the decision based on who we just want to be, the kinds of gifts we want to give ourselves, what we need most in this moment? Can I be open? Can I be curious? Can I be compassionate to build a version of me that now makes her decisions from there? So back to enough. You might find on that journey, not only does it change about every 10 pounds, not dramatically, but a little, you might notice that every 10 to 20 pounds, sorry, I'm burping that cereal. You might need to eat just a bit less, like a couple of bites less. You might also find you need new signals, like you're going to find new things that are coming up. You may have to recalibrate the ones you're used to. all of that will come into play on that journey. And then making sure that you're not getting dramatically like, oh, this is how little I get to eat. I only get to eat this much. Listen for that kind of talk because it's terrible. It never feels like y'all think that's just the truth. And I'm like, yeah, but does it feel good? If this version of the truth feels like ass, tell a version of the truth that feels better. So instead of thinking, you know, I'll have to eat so little at my goal, tell yourself, at my goal, I bet whatever I need to eat will sustain my body just as much as it will at this weight. That's the thing. If your body doesn't need it and you're missing how much you get to eat, you're not missing the food. It's whatever comfort that amount of food gives you, whatever peace of mind that amount of food gives you, that's what you're really going to be missing. So for all of you, I want you to think about that, that if that is one of your fears, that as you keep losing weight, that you won't get to eat hardly anything, remember, your body will always get what it needs and it will be satisfied. Emotionally, you won't be satisfied. Why? What about it? Will you not get to feel anymore? If you don't get to keep eating this much, because this is the most false fear I hear. I'll have to eat so little, I'll be hungry all the time. No, we're never going to lose so much weight that we have to starve to be there. We are going to always be listening to our body. You just may eat less, but it's not going to be less at your expense. Not at your body's expense. That's not what we're doing. All right. Number two. So that was like, enough is a journey. You need to stay curious about enough all the way down the scale. So I want you to be paying attention each week to, is my enough signals changing? You can just ask yourself this question when you do your weekly weigh-in. Just say like, did I notice my enoughness changing at all this week? Because sometimes we're noticing, this is what I see most often in elders and stalls and plateaus. Your enough has changed. What you're eating now used to be your enough until you got to this size. And you don't want to eat a little bit less. And this is usually what happens. When we first start losing weight, especially if you have a lot of weight to lose, enough is a dramatically less amount of food. You're just like, damn, I didn't even realize how much I was eating for all the reasons other than weight loss or other than what my body needed. When you get into the stall and plateau land, when you've lost some weight and stuff, and you've got to recalibrate enough, you're not making a huge leap anymore. You've already done that work. So all you've got to do now is start dialing it back a tad. So make sure you make that note. And to always remind yourself, it's normal for my enoughness to go down as the scale goes down. And it will never be a dramatic amount like it was on day one. All right. Number three. As your enoughness starts changing, you can start retrying methods that have worked in the past or things that you hadn't been willing to try before. Inside an OBS, we have several things that you can try. The three most popular are the halftime method, which is where you eat half your food, you wait a few minutes, then you eat half again until you have figured out what enough is. There is the Fuck It Foods worksheet that we'll be doing together this week. And then there are monk meals. So if you were to type in halftime method, Fuck It Foods worksheet, or monk meals in the search bar of our member site, nobswomen.com, you will find videos. You will find information that will walk you through all of it. Somebody said, I don't think I have made the first dramatic change. Some people don't make the dramatic change in the beginning. If you're listening to enough, there's some of us that have been overeating so much that when we start listening to enough, it is a considerably less amount of food. Sometimes what I teach also is you're going to start listening for enough and you're going to eat just a little bit less because you're not ready to stop at enough. You need to do some of the thought work to keep gaining courage, bravery, and safety to be able to get to enough. So there's no right or wrong there. There's just listening to your body and figuring out, what am I ready for in this moment? I'm going to give myself what I'm ready for. I'm going to continue to work on how I'm thinking, and I'm going to build my emotional resiliency and my mental resiliency to get this done. And then the last thing that you can do to dial in this enough is give your brain reasons why it's okay to eat less than what you used to eat so that you can counteract the mourning of why you can't eat enough. So we're going to kill the drama. I talked about that earlier. Here's a few things that you can tell yourself. Number one, you can say, I spend less money at the grocery store when I eat to enough. This is how I save money. This is like, and I can put that money towards whatever I want. This is how I make my money back, plus some and no BS. I promise you, if you start eating to enough, everybody who ever does this calculation will always post in the Facebook group that most people are saving hundreds of dollars a month when they just use the four basics. Hundreds. They do not realize how often they were hitting Starbucks, hitting a vending machine, hitting a gas station, going to the grocery store, throwing a few extra things in, overeating at home, whatever they normally cook for dinners, normally cook for their lunches and stuff. They start rationing back. They just buy less groceries now because they've like, oh, I don't have to cook as much. And then that means they're saving time when they are not going on that Starbucks run or going and getting the stuff at the vending machine and doing stuff. You've got more time on your hands to truly care for yourself. If you're used to going to Starbucks to decompress at work, this is what you got to watch out for. We're not going to cut out Starbucks. This is how you will end up back at Starbucks. If you look at your habits around overeating and you figure out why I was doing it, if you're doing it to relax, that means that when you cut out that food or that extra food habit, you've got to put something relaxing in its place. Otherwise, what we do is like, well, if I'm not going to go to Starbucks at 3 o'clock, that means I'm going to have to sit chained to my desk working on this bullshit project that I absolutely hate. And then wonder why. I just don't know why, Corinne, but I override my hunger every afternoon and do bullshit eating. Because you took away the bullshit, but you didn't reinsert what you needed to begin with. So make sure you look at that. You can tell yourself about body and health. Less food means less excess fuel running through my body, which will prevent disease later on in life, which will help me sleep better at night. And then you can also talk about, I get to still eat my favorite foods. More of them isn't better. And eating less of the food I love is way better than cutting them out. So those are a few things that you can talk about. Now, if you like this lesson, then you're probably going to really enjoy the Stalls and Plateaus course. So one of the things that I would do is make sure you listen to NoBS modules 3 and 4. Or if you're in the middle of Pathways and you're like, this really resonated with me, you might want to, as the next course you decide to take, to be our Stalls and Plateaus course. All right. Last thing I want to say before I jump into questions is this. On April 1st, I am opening up my advanced weight loss certification. This is for weight loss coaches and doctors, anyone who wants to dive deeper into the NoBS concepts on how to coach or teach them to others, this might be for you. You can go to theweightlossuniversity.com and you can get information about that over there. All right. Let's see what questions you have. Well, Jessica said, I hit it on the head when it talked about being sad. She is making eating past enough sexy. Some people said, I feel deprived or left out. All right. So anytime for all of you, Cindy especially, whenever you think eating less makes me feel deprived, makes me feel like I'm left out, why? Eating less doesn't do that to you. Because somebody else, here's how we know eating less can't do that to you. You'll have another person like me who will say, when I'm eating to enough, when I'm eating less food, I feel in control. I feel like a badass. I feel like I know what to do. I feel like it has nothing to do with whether or not I'm having a conversation with someone. Like when you say, I feel left out. So let's say me and you and a bunch of people are sitting at the table and I finish first because I've hit my enough and you are still eating and everybody else at the table is still eating. If I'm talking to you and I am thinking, this is great. I have more time to pay attention to the conversation. I got to eat what I want. And now I get to just enjoy my friends. I'm not feeling left out at all. I now feel included because I included myself. You are probably sitting there thinking about your food. You're not sitting there going like, oh my God, Corinne's done. We need to figure out a way to cut her ass out of all the fun. Unless she starts eating, I need to make sure she's not having fun. Or I need to tell her, can you go sit at another table? And then when we're all done, we can come back together and then we can have a conversation. Like being left out, I want you to all think about this. If you worry about being left out, I'm at the table, everybody else is eating, I'm not. I feel so left out. What are you left out of? The conversation is sitting there. The food is sitting there. Did anybody kick you off the island? Even if they comment and say, I just coached on this in Queen's Club yesterday. I don't think you ate enough. You should eat more. You can just say, yo, I got plenty. Last thing I want is to eat more food and not feel good later. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy what we're talking about. And then change the subject. That's how you include yourself. You sticking steak in your mouth doesn't suddenly make you feel included. And this is how I also know it. A lot of you go and you overeat because you feel left out. You don't feel comfortable. You get social anxiety. So you eat to avoid feeling anxiety. You never tell me like, oh yeah, I ate so much that I felt so included. I ate so much that suddenly I was a social butterfly. It ain't morphing you into no other human being. All it's doing is quieting the demons in your voice, in your head. We can quiet them by deciding to have a different conversation, by dialoguing with them in our head. You do not need an ice cream sundae, chips, salsa, a fajita, sushi shoved in your mouth in order for you to feel included or to quiet voices in your head. You have to stop telling yourself that. All right. Social butterfly doesn't even come out after the wine, all of you. I know y'all over here joking, but seriously. You're just putting duct tape on the inner bitch's mouth. Here's my challenge to you. I want you to journal, all of you, whether it's food or wine. If suddenly they give you courage to do something, I want you to write about, here's how I act when I have courage. Here are the things that I say. Here's what I do. Then I want you to look at it and be like, is this the person I want to be? Because sometimes it is. If you want to be more chattery or whatever it is, more brave, to have more fun. The only thing wine does is turn down the voice that keeps you from being that person. Same thing with food. Which one's better? To keep drinking and eating to turn down the voice? Or to have a few times where you go out where the voice is loud and you start dialoguing with it? And you start telling it how we want to be, and that today we're going to practice a little courage. We're going to start just being the person we want to be and not needing to eat or drink in order to be the person we want to be. All right. Overeating is kind of fun. I want you to think about this. If it's so fun, why do you want it to stop? This is another sexy talk thing we say. I don't think overeating is fun. I think it distracts us from things we don't want to think about. I think it can quiet things that prevent us from relaxing or having fun, but the eating of itself is not the fun part. If it was really fun and you really loved it, you would not be in this program trying to figure out how to stop it. That would be like joining the program and saying, hey, I really want to figure out how to be, never take a vacation again. I mean, they're fun, but you know, can you coach me on no longer going on vacations? No one does that. Why? Because vacations are actually fun. But like getting coached on, I would like to no longer take uninterrupted long hot showers where I can just sit there and have quiet time. Can you coach me on that? I'd like that to stop. We have to really be careful of what our brains are telling us. We have to think about, like, when my brain wants to make this fun, it, like, is it really? Because if it's so fun, why is it something I want to stop? How do I make my wheat germ? I don't have wheat germ. It's wheat bran. It's cereal. It's just like cornflakes, but wheat, if that makes sense. And I just get Publix generic, like there's nothing special about them. I put some cottage cheese in the bowl. I buy the containers of, like, I think it's called the Good Brand or something like that. Any cottage cheese will do. I just buy the little individual containers and I dump one in the bottom of the bowl. I put two packets of Splenda on it, stir it up, dump my wheat bran on top. And then I use unsweetened cashew milk. And then I eat a bowl of cereal. I do it every day. Good Culture is the name of it. And I love it. It's got like good probiotics, keeps my colon healthy, maybe keeping my colon a little too healthy. If you listen to the Queen's Club call, you'll know that I almost shit my pants yesterday on another call. And you'll get to hear the whole hilarious story when the replay drops on Friday. All right, everybody. If you didn't get your question answered, if you will just go to the Facebook group or to Ask Coaches and type it there, and then we will make sure we get it answered for you. I'm going to head out. I've got to go to the bathroom. I don't have to poop like I did yesterday, but I do need to go to the potty because I have another call starting at 10 o'clock. Somebody asked about this particular lip gloss I'm wearing. This one, the name of it is called Power. It is just the Sephora brand, and it's the glossed, but this one's called Power. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all. I believe I see y'all on Sunday. And also for everybody, I am finally getting that damn ablation tomorrow. I've been talking about an ablation for 3 to 4 years. I am finally crossing the finish line. You talk about somebody staying persistent, determined. That was me. All righty. Bye, y'all.